listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us here today for Get Yourself the Job with Brandon Maslin and myself, Jennifer Cahill. We are so happy to have you here with us, and it's a very exciting time. As you may know, if you've been with us on this journey thus far, we are in the process of introducing 3 months to everything you need to know from A to Z on how to land your dream job in 2021. So we clearly could not host this section without having a social media expert on, who today's guest has been a guest here before on Get Yourself the Job. And I know I referenced back to her original last show that we did, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. And I use that as my gold standard as far as how to interact on social media. So in a moment, we'll introduce you to Maria Barraquet. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, and they can offer temporary services, payroll services, as well as executive search. So please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. Now, as I mentioned, we have the amazing Maria Barraquet, who is an online digital marketing consultant and content strategist, as well as a 20-year veteran of small business marketing and the founder and creative taskmaster behind Design Bear Marketing, which focuses on the experience journey that customers take from awareness through advocacy for the brands they support. Maria has been a passionate advocate for entrepreneurs and small businesses, working with them to bridge the digital divide, which during this last year of the pandemic has grown wider, continuing to separate those with experience and expertise from the people and organizations with more digital literacy. Her work is now more focused on educating, training, and connecting dots between our expertise and the necessary content required to create a social voice in this new world, in the digital world, as well as in the global world. Thanks so much for being here. It's wonderful to have you with us, Maria.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here. Good to be back.
Thank you so much. And Brandon, I know quite a bit about social media. This guy is absolutely a social media, and specifically LinkedIn influencer. So I'm going to let you kick off today's show and see what questions you might have for Maria.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to dive in. As Jennifer mentioned, I predominantly use LinkedIn. My wife does comms and PR in the entertainment industry for years at Pinterest, and most recently now at the amazing company DoorDash. And so most of my insight comes from her. But one thing she pointed out recently was when you're choosing social media, it's best to choose one platform and become an expert in that platform rather than sort of bounce around. And I'm wondering what you think as far as even where to begin, or maybe you could kind of let our audience know what platforms are actually out there that they should use in their job search or to build their brands.
Well, I do agree with your wife. I think that all of us should find that platform that we love. I use Twitter for research. And every platform has its own personality and its own use. But for the job, especially today, and it's funny, Jennifer, I was here a couple of years ago and I was, LinkedIn. And then LinkedIn kind of died out. The pandemic is bringing it back, and you're going to see some changes. So for job hunt, you've got to get on LinkedIn. So that's that one platform that I think everybody needs to focus on, even as small businesses. And part of it is, I'm sure you've read about Facebook and Twitter. There's all these things going on with them. And I think you're going to see a big shakeup in there. And so the focus is back on LinkedIn in a good way. And LinkedIn has really maintained its, consistency and patterns. And then some of the trends, which I'm sure we'll talk about today, just point back to LinkedIn as being the main place. So that's our focus.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Maria. And I'm glad you said that as well, Brandon. It can be overwhelming if any of you out there are like, hey, I'm going to be out there job hunting. I'm going to just try and blast out all of my social networks with my job hunting. you know, that's not the right way to go about it. And in fact, I think, Brandon, you were telling me that one of the most popular shows we've done of all time was Peng Jun, who joined us, I think, 2 years ago in February. And he is one of the most influential guys in the world on social networking. And I remember clearly when he joined me on the show and he said, listen, there's a very specific way that you have a different voice for each one of your social media sites. How you're going to post something on Facebook is going to be diametrically opposed to how you're going to post it on LinkedIn versus mm-hmm. how you're going to post it on Facebook. And then within that whole basically globe of possibilities, then it's also going to be different depending on what you're trying to say. Are you somebody who's already in a company and you're trying to get a raise or promotion? Okay, then you're going to use social media in one way. Are you somebody who is out there and has no job? Then you're going to use it another way. Or as Maria put, if you're out there trying to create a new brand. So Maria, can you tell us a little bit about the voices we use on social media? And say, for example, if somebody is new to this and they're coming to this show and they say, well, gosh, you know, I've never really used social media, period. What do I need to know about potentially job hunting? Let's just say for LinkedIn, to keep it simple for the people who are tuning in.
Yeah, I would definitely focus on LinkedIn for a couple of reasons. First of all, that is where the people are that are looking for you are going to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there was a statistic in 2017 about, you know, like 78% of recruiters are on LinkedIn. Pandemic, they're all there. Everybody is on LinkedIn because this is your online portfolio. This is your brand, your personal brand. Whereas you can definitely find a lot of job opportunities on Twitter and other places where you can, you know, have those short bites. I know I was listening to your show last week and you were talking about networking. Yeah. I would use the other sites to network, you know, to really reach out and make those connections, but bring them back to LinkedIn and grow that base, because it's not who you know that's going to find you that job. It's letting them know that you're looking for a job and then they know other people. And so LinkedIn is that great place to have a very professional voice, as if you walked into the coffee shop with your business cards. You're just going to speak differently. You're not going to post pictures of your children and say, what are you cooking for dinner? Unless you're a chef and that's what your business is. But your voice is all about that professional expertise that you want to display. And LinkedIn, that's the voice that you have, for sure.
Great advice. Yeah, I think it's so important to consider that, because LinkedIn, the way I look at it is that if you're on LinkedIn, it's a great way to research companies too. That's one thing that people often don't think about for twofold. Number one, if you already have an interview, say you haven't been on LinkedIn before, you can use LinkedIn as a really amazing research tool to go look up who's working at the company, what are their backgrounds, what have they been doing, you know, what are they saying, you know, about the company. It gives you really great statistics on companies on LinkedIn. And then number two, I love to use it too. Once you have that interview, you can also research the individual, find out information about them. Or number three, if you don't have an interview already, what a brilliant place to go. I mean, right now I'm in the process of fundraising for a startup that I'm co-founding. And I love being able to be on LinkedIn because it tells you how many degrees of separation and who I know and how they know people. And so it's very easy to see, okay, say I want to work at Westfield Shopping Malls, then I can go and look and see, okay, who works at Westfield that is a second degree connection. In other words, I know someone who knows someone who works there. And then you can begin to ask yourself, is it advantageous for me? And do I have a strong enough relationship to go to my contact, Pam, and see if Pam is willing to introduce me to their HR department or whoever it might be?
Exactly. It is a great place to find that information. And you brought up something really important, Jennifer, that I think the pandemic has really brought out, is there's a lot of at-home work. I mean, the three of us, we're at home, right? We're sitting at home. Mm-hmm. And what companies are thinking about is, wait a minute, you know, we're hiring in new people virtually. You know, we can all stand and get on and look nice. But once we go back to some kind of normal, even if it's a hybrid normal, you're going to find that that fit might not be there. You know, when you interview for a job and you walk in and you're walking around the office, you can sort of see how the business works. But when you work in this virtual environment, once you get into that office, you may find out, I don't fit in here at all. So going into LinkedIn and doing exactly what you're saying, reading their blog, seeing the other employees, you know, it kind of feels a little invasive, but in a virtual world that we are all in right now, it's the only way that you can get a sense for who your bosses and your coworkers are going to be. And that's what I think is really powerful. And I think also that companies are looking at that too. So you need to be mindful.
I love that you pointed out the importance of the bosses too, right? I mean, I tell that to a lot of people who say, I'm never going to leave this job. And I said, yes, but the people who come to work for you will find you there. And that's what they're going to learn about you and know more. And, you know, one of my things that I love to say to my clients is you're too awesome to have a terrible LinkedIn, because that is your, you know, we're seeing them apart than we've probably been in modern history. Therefore, we're looking for tools to further field that connection. And one more point you made that I just want to celebrate was that idea that I do this too. I look at a LinkedIn, I look at how people in a company talk about themselves. And you can tell a lot about a company through that. You can certainly tell a lot about an individual. Mm-hmm. So what do people do wrong on LinkedIn? What can they do better, you know, to be recognized, to be sought out?
I think the number one thing that people do wrong on LinkedIn is they treat it so industrial. And it's not industrial. It feels industrial because it's online. But, you know, when I work with people and I train them I have my little checklist. Anybody can do the LinkedIn checklist, right? It's the one, Jennifer, I gave to you. Are you? What do you want in your life and what are you passionate about? LinkedIn gives you that opportunity to take that boring resume and the CV and that shake your hand interview, and it really gives you a chance to talk about you through blogs and sharing of articles. So yes, you want to have a great profile photo and a header and show your technological abilities and your summaries, which everyone misses. You know, they either copy their resume in there, or it's so boring. It's like, Maria Barraquette can do this and she can do email and all. Like, no, man, I love small business. I'm passionate about it. I want you to have your superpower skills, and I want you to talk about yourself in a way as if you came into my office and shook my hand. And then I can say, wow, Jennifer has so much energy. I can feel it in her words and in her content. And that's people mess up on LinkedIn is content. We live in a content-driven world. So if you can't write or you don't feel that you can, you need to get some help, because you have to come across as an expert in something. Even if you are the receptionist, you have superpowers. Receptionists control the office and the organization, and it can come through in your words. And I think that's something really important.
You know, Maria, you just hit on a super important point, and it's the takeaway that really stands out for me the most from that interview I did with Peng Jun about 2 years ago. And, you know, he talks about, I think he was living somewhere in Asia and was making no money, and now he's worth millions and millions of dollars just based on his social media content. Now, I understand many of you out there may want to find a job, but the point is equally as applicable for you as it was for Peng. And he actually said to post a video or content. Now, he's an advocate of a video every single day. And I personally love clips. If you happen to have an iPhone and you've ever used a clips video, it actually transliterates what you're saying so that your video can pull up and you keep it to less than a minute and you can share your thoughts on content. So I invite people to check that out. If you're afraid of writing, if you're like, oh gosh, you know, I just don't feel confident in my ability to write, then I encourage you, use what you have, you know, do other things. Find ways. Some people use memes to, you know, artistically express the way they feel or share, you know, other people's content or create videos. And it's very endearing. And I remember Peng said, if you can post once a day, every single day, some form of unique content you will be an influencer in less than a year. And influencer means many things. It means that you're going to be the person who's the most desirable person to work with in your field. And I do want to acknowledge, I always try to check on our social media. Speaking of social media, thanks so much, Michelle Marr, for joining in with us. And she brought up a great point, too, that you can use LinkedIn to see how much turnover the company has. So use LinkedIn, see if you look at their profiles, and a lot of the people you're seeing there are only there 6 months, 2 months, 1 year. This tells you so much. It's like you're getting a little peek. It's kind of like going behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, where you get to see everything. You get to see your quote unquote competition, although I abhor that word because everybody is, you know, equally as qualified, but you can look at other people who have the job that you would like to have or a similar job. And you can see who's been working at the company, how long were they there, and all sorts of valuable information that can help you get the insight that you need in order to make really sound choices in your job hunt.
You're exactly right. And I think what the gentleman and I, Ping Hong, I don't remember what you
name Peng Jun. Yeah, Peng Jun.
He makes a really important point about finding that your voice, basically. So some people do it visually. I will tell someone who can make beautiful PowerPoint slides, just magnificent. You know, you can film that. It can be like a mini video of whatever it is that you do. And that's a media file that you can put up there, or that video, or a collage of ideas that's there that brings out in you your passion and creativity. And believe me, people will find you. You don't have to be an influencer with 10 million people. You just need that one person to say, hey, this person is unique. I like them. They're relevant today and they can do it. People look at me all the time and they say, well, you know, how can you be a social media person? I have been in this world since the minute it came out. I just love it and I am always into the future. But you can't judge me just based on my name or my age or any of that. It's all the interesting content that I create that I do here and there. And so you don't want people to judge you based, maybe you're young, maybe you've never been in that industry, but you can pull that out and you can share it. And I think that's really important.
You bring up a really good point about the rapid way that the technology is changing or regulating and staying abreast of those changes. One thing that resonated for me too was the importance of comments. I think whether it's Facebook, whether it's LinkedIn, or whether it's Instagram or whatever, tweet or Twitter, retweeting on Twitter probably, you know, if you can find someone, especially like a CEO or someone in positions of power at a company you want to go to, comment. But, you know, so many people, for example, job anniversary, what do you see on LinkedIn? Congrats on your congrats. I always write like, congratulations. I don't even say that. I go, this is such a deserved promotion. This is great news for you and the company. And when I really know the person, I'll go one step further because you are a visionary or you are, right? That's my brand. My brand is finding people's professional identities, professional brands. But I will usually give them a shout out. And, you know, of the 100, they're usually going to respond to me. And we'll go back and forth and I'll give dialogue. Vice versa, when people do that, if I post something, I'll never just say, if they like something or comment something, I'll always respond to their comment too. So if you're doing a post, the more you engage your audience, your connections to your audience, this isn't a podcast, you know, although we feel connected to our people from our podcast, this is your network. And this is a wonderful way to expand. The more you engage with them on a personal level. And I think it's so easy in social media world to get lost that connection. And I guess for job search, and then you have to know your wheelhouse. I noticed that Twitter, for example, the professionals I follow on Twitter, that's where they'll go political. Yeah. I noticed that, you know, Facebook, obviously where you go a little more personal and et cetera, et cetera. Finding that universal brand. So Maria, how do you help when you've seen someone get a great job or advance in their career, what are they doing on social media that really, what steps do they take?
I think that you're mentioning something that's kind of a little outside of people's comfort zones, but that's so critical, that relevancy. And I think that when you have a dynamite profile, you know, and I have seen them And I've worked with people like that. And then they say, I can't seem to get a job. Why can't I get a job? And yet then there's other people who are in there interacting and networking in a very personal, genuine way. And that's genuine with it, you know, all caps, is when you're writing congratulations in there and not congrats, congrats or hearts, you're looking at that person. And we've all gotten those emails in LinkedIn, you know, where they're trying to sell me something. And I usually, if I have the time, I will write them back and say, wow, you didn't even look at my profile. I will always respond to somebody who sees me. And it's the same when you're looking for a job or you want to network. See me for who I am and what I do. You pick up on one little point that's not, you know, irrelevant in the LinkedIn world, but that one thing, and you've got a friend for life, a networking, right? And you're nodding your head because I know.
Oh, it's so great. That's just such great advice. I will too. Someone says it makes it personal, and I do. I get a ton of inbounds. I'll always, it's funny. I don't respond. I responded to one person like right when COVID hit, and they're like, is your business better than last year's? Mine is. And I'm like, and I literally wrote them, I was like, really? And they acknowledged that it was a automatic email that went out, and they just weren't thinking about it. And I was like, well, you may want to change that, because 90% of the people I know are not necessarily crushing it this year. And you're basically saying how you are, you know, and they've written the email in 2019 is like, you know, that's not very connected. But to your point, I love what you're talking about. When you make it personal, you're right. I will. So I don't respond to those people. They annoy me. But anyone who makes it personal, I'm a sucker for that. Are you kidding me? Talk about anything that is personal and I will respond. I'm like a dog to a bone. And I learned that as a recruiter too, though. You know, we would do Jennifer too. You reach out to thousands of people. Usually the response would be, oh, you went to UVA. My best friend went to UVA. You know, you went here. I see you have this interest. You're from this town. You're this. Anything that makes it a little more personal. But yeah, Maria, I'm not in my head because I'm like, I do the same thing. I feel seen. I feel seen by you.
Yeah, it's
that's
so
a magic word.
It's so important, guys, that no matter what we're talking about, because the same thing with happy birthday, you could use happy birthday as a huge leverage. It's like you have those preset congrats, happy birthday, whatever it is. Happy birthday. You know, I hope things are well this year. I'd love to take a minute. If I'm going to take the time out to congratulate you or say happy birthday, I actually meaningfully want to reconnect with you. And I think, oh, wow, I'm so happy Maria's birthday just popped up. And for me, you know, I would love your thoughts on this, Maria, as the expert. I remember years ago when I first started exploring social media back in 2008, 9, and 10, a strategy that I started applying is something I call the 30-30-30 rule. And my rule of thumb on this, and this was across all social media sites, and when I'm thoughtful about the way I post, I still do adhere to this, is 30% of my posts are personal. They're about me as an individual. So people feel connected to what I'm up to. I'm living in Portugal. I'm doing this. I just started this new company. And then 30% of it is sharing content from other experts to set myself up as an expert in that field, in that genre of other experts. In fact, as a quick aside, I'll never forget the CEO of the company that bought my recruiting firm, Markham, Jeff Weiner. He sent us out to the executives in our company this great article from the Wall Street Journal that was talking about why you're losing your new hires and they're ghosting you. And I wanted to share that. So I shared that content. I don't even think I acknowledged Jeff in the post about it on LinkedIn. It reached 100,000 people in 24 hours. And I was just sharing this content as, you know, hey, I really thought this article would be relevant. And it clearly was for people in my network. And the last 30% of your time can be asking for something from your audience, from your followers. Hey, does anybody know who the CEO or executive or general counsel is, doing something as a small business owner, or if you're promoting yourself as an expert, that's the opportunity to do it. And then I say the last 10% of your time is communicate and interact, just like we were talking about, whether it's happy birthdays, congratulations. It's actually having that intimate connection with the people who follow you and commenting on what matters to them, wishing them a happy birthday. Or if they comment and interact with you in your post, interact with them back. So that way you're not just talking at people, you're engaging in this beautiful ebb and flow with them.
I love that. The 30-30-10. I think it's very true. I think that, you do have to be careful with that 30 about yourself and remember where you are and what you're talking about. And on LinkedIn, you're relating it to your work in some way, even if it's nonprofit work or things that you're doing on the side for the company and their things like that. I think that you've touched on so many important things, you know, just the idea that approach it as if you were in a room with someone. And I'm not going to walk right up to you and say, "Hi, Brandon, my name is Maria Barraquette. Here's my business card." No, I'm going to start off with that first 30%, right? You know, "Hey, how you doing? You know, your first time here," right? We're being personal. Is it here, the weather, whatever it's happening? And then you're talking a little bit more into the professional part and you're always bringing it back. It's not difficult to put on personal glasses from a digital world. You can just stop and get out of your own way and understand that person. And I think in the job hunting world, I think a lot of mistakes that are made on LinkedIn, just like what we're talking about, is it's all about you and your need. But LinkedIn gives you the ability to see their need and who they are. And then you can decide if that's you or not. And if it's not, then go find that person that is. That's why doing those little videos or a collage or a slide share is so awesome, because you're giving of yourself this superpower that you have. And eventually someone's going to find you. But if you reach out that 10% and say, "Hey, I'd like to share this with you, my network of people that know me. If you know any companies or any HR people that are looking for someone who's creative like this," you know, where you're getting a little out of the box, not like, "Here's my resume, share it," or "Who's the hiring person," but "Here's my superpower." And we all know someone who knows someone who's looking for that kind of person, the nerd or the really creative person. So I think that makes sense, right? And you're nodding your head. So I think you agree.
Yeah. Brandon?
Yeah. No, I was just wondering. So we talked a lot about LinkedIn and I love that. Who has the need that meets the need. And I connect thousands of people every year, just about. And I always attach LinkedIn. I mean, that's the thing I connect. I almost never attach a resume. I don't think a resume is this. If it tells you as much as LinkedIn, I think you're not using LinkedIn right. And if it tells you, I don't think a resume should be right. I mean, I don't know about you, Jennifer, but when I was a recruiter, if your resume was so cute that I couldn't figure out what you were talking about, I would just be like, "Frap," you know. And if it was boring, I'd be
delete.
Yeah, delete, just drive me nuts. But you know what? You can be as honestly though on LinkedIn, for the most part, you can be as creative as you want, and I'm going to be there with you. Now, I do think search engine optimization, if you want a job and you want to be, say, senior director of operations, and you don't have operations anywhere in your LinkedIn, that's insane to me. I mean, if you want to be strategy, comms, HR, even if it's not in your job title, find a way to put in your description. Use the words that align with the job you want, because I tell you, as a recruiter, and Jennifer, you probably can attest to this, we're just looking for our buzzwords. You know, that's how we found people. As a coach, I want to make it authentically you. But as a recruiter, as I call it, my lizard brain, which is just more like, I want you to get your job as soon as possible, use those words. Now, Maria, what other, besides LinkedIn, we could talk about LinkedIn all day. The other LinkedIn tip I love to point out is get to 500 connections, no matter what you have to do. Because after 500, LinkedIn will stop showing to the general public how connected you are. But I personally, this might be my own thing, I judge people that are under 500 only because it takes so little effort. It literally takes so little effort. LinkedIn will do it for you. Just say, "Access to my people, connect." All those people that annoy us with inbounds that we don't want to normally talk to, if it's to get the 500, accept. All right, that's my pro tip. Maria, what are the other things out there? How do we use the Instagram? How do we use Twitter? How do we use any of these other things to find a job?
Well, I think that number one is you are screening all of your social media right up front. So if you're in the mode, "I want a new job, I want a new career," the very first thing you're doing is deleting stuff, and you are updating and becoming relevant to who you are. And that's the number one duh moment, right? You know, so I am constantly, you know, I am a little fiery and sometimes I'm really not on Facebook that often personally. I'm there professionally, but even I have to go back and say, oh, did I really post that click? Because it's not relevant to the person that I am in my career and in my world. And that's the first thing that you have to do. The other thing I think, I do really like Twitter. I think Twitter is a great place to research companies. It's a great place to curate content that you can share to look like that expert. It's probably the number one place to do that. And one recruiter once told me that what they look at is they go to your Twitter profile and they want to see who you're following. And I never forgot that. And it's very powerful. So if I want to learn everything about Brandon, who I just met today, right? If I go to your Twitter, I want to see who you're following, because if you don't prune that out and update it, you know, I got my Twitter way back in the day, right? So who was president then, or what was relevant then? You're not that same person. This is a place where you really can network. So you have to go in and really see, what do people see when they're in there? What are the photos and the old videos? And you can download all that stuff, the things that you don't want. You can do the same thing with Twitter. Instagram is your visual voice, and it is the place that you can be professional, and you can show a lot about that 10% that you were talking about, your own personality and who you are personally. Now, if it's all cats, and I don't know what that really says about you, but you could take pictures of where you're from, where you want to go. My favorite question to ask anybody, especially in a new group or as I manage Facebook groups, is I don't want to see a picture of you. I want you to show me that place that's on your bucket list that you've always wanted to go. And it's an engaging question and it gets people excited, but it also educates everyone else more about you than if you said, my name is, and this is where I live, and this is what I do. So look at your profiles in that way. You know, is it artsy on Instagram? Is it nerd? You don't even have to have tweets, but watch who you follow on there a lot. And same with Snapchat. That's another one. Like, people want to know who you're following and what you're looking at, because it says a lot more about you in truth. So that's really the best tip I can give on that.
You have to be conscientious. I remember years and years ago, there was a law firm, it was a small law firm that was considering hiring somebody. And, you know, you Google people, which again, you're not supposed to legally do, but this particular small law firm told me a story later about somebody they had Googled and they wound up not hiring because her posts were very politically charged and it wasn't in alignment. And I know this was a huge issue for many of the job seekers I spoke with in the last year, is because the election had people so polarized that, you know, people are not supposed to, I want to give this caveat, they are not supposed to judge you for this, but we're human beings and we don't even mean to make these choices. Sometimes we just might at a subconscious level pass over candidate A for candidate B if we notice that they're saying something inflammatory. And I'm using politics just because it's an easy, you know, slap in the face example, but it could be anything. Or I remember there was another person years ago, a story I'd heard about a job seeker who didn't get hired because they had like a BDSM group or something like that they followed. And you could see on the person's Facebook what they're following. And the potential employer saw that and was like, oh gosh, that might be a little too alternative for our office. Now, again, theoretically, nobody should be looking at all this, but you also, you don't want to lose your dream job. And here's the funny thing, the irony about all this, if BDSM is your culture, and that's what you love and you're passionate about it, and an organization's not going to hire you based on that, then you put it up there. You don't want to work for them anyways. I remember when LinkedIn first came out, I always remember this. Job seekers were so nervous and they were like, oh gosh, Jennifer, I'm this, I'm old, I'm this race, I'm that race, I'm, you know, this sexual orientation. And I felt really uncomfortable because what if people judge me on LinkedIn? And my theory was, you know, post your picture, be your most authentic self on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever it is. Because if somebody chooses not to hire you based on that, then you don't want to work for a company that's going to discriminate against you to begin with. They're probably not going to be in alignment with your mission and values and purpose in life if they're going to be that reactive.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. That was great. I think that is so well said. I have a I know an amazing woman who's a senior leader who is very involved in the BDSM community so much that she does a TED talk on it. Right. Wow. And if her company can handle, they can. But like, it's actually, she does a beautiful thing about why that's the ultimate place for consent was the, but look, either your company can deal with that or they can't. This is a very polarized time politically, obviously. But if you are truly triggered or whatever the word is by people from a particular political persuasion, you're probably not going to want to work day in and day out with them. And if they don't like, I mean, it's just, there's a chance that it's not going to be fun for you if that's not your thing. And so that's okay too. These aren't, I don't think it was your dream job to begin with. I think these are, now, what I do think you need to be careful with, and Maria, I think this is what you're alluding to, is if you're like, hey, burn in blank or, storm the so-and-so, you're probably not going to get hired, right? There's certain things where, violence, racism, anti-Semitism. A woman at a company recently got fired because she posted, I think it was in Slack internally, like, avoid the Nazis at the, or like something about Nazis at the rally. But there was swastika, the guy was wearing a swastika. It wasn't like allegory. It was like an actual Nazi, and she was Jewish. And you know who got fired? The head of HR. That's who got fired. Oh, wow. The head of HR was so, everyone was like, no, that woman who happens to be Jewish is announcing that at that particular rally, there's Nazis and you're firing her. And chances are our actions have consequences. I love that. Personally, I kind of like that about social media, right? That it is you have to, everyone should be thinking to some degree about the words they say and the way they say it, especially if those words cause harm to someone else.
Correct.
I don't think it's the worst thing. Dan Jones, I'll tell you what, the coolest thing I've ever seen on Twitter, and I was thinking about whether or not I should say this, but I'm just going to put it out here. There was a thing that Dan Jones from Twitter, who happens to be a black man on CNN, said, and he said, America chose the boy who stuttered over the bully. That's the whole thing. And that, my professional identity is being an anti-bully. I don't let my clients bully themselves, and I sure as heck don't let my clients be bullied. And that includes the companies I work with. I tend to work with companies that support and lift people up, don't push people down. It's not in my DNA. I put that on Twitter. I put that everywhere because my wife is like, this is who you are. This speaks to who you are. You do not like bullies in the world. You were bullied. This is who you identify as. And it's okay. Got permission from my PR wife to put it everywhere. So I put it everywhere. I put it on LinkedIn. I put it on Facebook and I put it on Twitter. I'll tell you, someone reached out to me on Twitter and sent me a link to her company that makes the t-shirt that says like that, what I just said.
Oh, wow.
Totally bought it. I'm like, that is just genius. If you're that deep level, total respect.
But that's a value that you have. So,
it's a value. Well said, Maria.
And I think that there's a difference between you saying, I don't like bullies, or I be kind, things like that. And I don't think you can go wrong because that's a real true inner part of who you are as a person. But remember what we started with, which is in this pandemic hiring world that we're in and we're going to be in for a little while longer, is they're really looking for that fit. And so maybe in a normal world, and I'm air quoting that, you would want to have things on your profiles and like, hey, if they don't like that, too bad. But we're really looking at it with a big eyeglass right now. And we're trying to identify what might not fit. And maybe that coworker, I'm sorry, Jennifer, but the coworker who said the Nazi thing, they're having flashbacks to something that's not there. And maybe next year that wouldn't even have been an issue. So if you really want a job and you really want that change, put that polarizing stuff, and we all know what the polarizing stuff is, put it aside, file it away, get the job you really want, personality come back out, right? I mean, totally, you've got to weigh what's most important, So, and your value system is your value system. I don't think bullies have the value system of being a bully. I think they're insecure.
Yeah.
And I think we identify that immediately, that this is an insecure person. So sometimes even if they're not being a bully, you might not want them because you're like, this person's so insecure. Do I really want them on my team?
Guys, I want to address two quick things because I know I can't believe this episode has just flown by. I don't know how it's been for you. We've had some great comments online. And one comment that I just wanted to address for Michelle, who's watching with us online, and thank you for that comment, Michelle, is she said, yeah, but you can delete it or make it private. And I want to give a caveat because as much as you think you can make it private, and there are companies out there, I forget the names of them, their job is to do a backdoor search and get access to information that you think is quote unquote private. So Maria, I would love it if you could just touch on that really quickly before we wrap up today. And then I would love to touch on your title in LinkedIn, because I think that's something I just don't want to skim over that I think can be extremely valuable for anybody out there listening.
I'm so glad you brought, I just had this discussion with my husband. He's a nerd, really, but he belongs to Facebook groups. He's a sport fan. He's a soccer fan. Soccer fans are hooligans and weirdos. And I always say to him, be careful, because I know they can get in and they can see. And you don't know who snapped a picture of your stuff that you shared.
Wow.
And then they reposted it because they thought it was funny. And there's tons of stories out there about people who lost jobs because their best friend took a snapshot or a screenshot of their friend's thing. And, you know, long story short, the boss saw it and said, wait a minute, she works for me, that meme. So memes are very popular. So you need to be careful. Delete what is not relevant to your career search. Hands down, you just got to do that. And as for titles, probably the most important thing on your LinkedIn profile is your title. It is you, those are your keywords. So I want to go back to the receptionist, because a receptionist, first of all, it's not a very common job anymore, but it's coming back because they realize that in that customer journey, it's very important. But what does a receptionist do? I'm a receptionist. No, man, you are the, you know, you do administration, you do customer service.
Yep.
Sometimes they even do design work on social media and marketing. So all of those are keyword slash keyword slash keyword. Those, that's your title. Not looking for a job. It's management, the industry that you want to be in, your superpower skills that you're doing. So I'm digital marketing, content strategy. These are keywords that I have. Sure, I could say I'm the CEO of my own business, right? But what does that offer me or both of you? If you look at that, you think, oh, she's the CEO, big deal. But this keyword is going to touch you. So very, very important to have a good keyword based.
One last thing on that note, Maria, that I would love to offer to everybody out there is if you want a particular job, if you know you're salivating, you can taste your dream job, right? Go and look up the people who already have that job. And number one, look up what companies they work at. Number two, look up the titles they have. Sometimes, I remember a friend of mine was searching for a recruiting job years ago, could not get hired, and she didn't realize the keyword was talent acquisition specialist.
Yeah.
So find out the lingo, do the due diligence, do the research, and be sure it doesn't just say recruiter in your title, say recruiter, talent acquisition specialist, sourcer. Use all of the keywords under your title, because as Maria just said, keywords are critical. That's how, whether you're trying to build a business or get hired or become an influencer, that is what's going to allow people to target you. So I know we guys were running out of time here. Brandon, I'm throwing it back to you. Any closing thoughts, my friends, any takeaways?
Can I just add one thing?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but it kind of goes along with that. Find a job description. Doesn't matter where it is, Poughkeepsie, and use the descriptions that are in those job descriptions that are keyword-based generally, because you both started off by saying you're looking for the words, you're looking for those, only those words, and then your personality. And I think that's a great way to do a profile. So I didn't want it to end without saying that. It's a great way to optimize this, to find that dream job, see what it looks like on somebody else's profile, and then just, of course, you have to have that skill, but borrow them.
you just did my homework. Yeah, I mean, you just did my job for me. So I appreciate it, Maria, which is I'm supposed to give an action item, and that's going to be our action item, right? It has to be. Go find your dream job, look at the job description, then look at your social media and make sure that the keywords you see on that job description are in your social media, especially LinkedIn. And if they're not, I'd probably stop everything you're doing and add them yesterday. It's so true that once you become, every time I talk to a client who says, I want to be a CFO, or something, you know, I coach a lot of senior leaders, but I want to be a CFO. You know what the next job they get is? A CFO and a CFO and a CFO. Meaning the second they become a CFO, no one ever doesn't see them as a CFO anymore. The second you become get a job doing your dream thing, recruiters and everyone on social media will see you forever as that thing. No one will ever historically offer you something less. They will offer you something at. So fight hard, even if your company, sorry, companies, but even if your company is where you're going to be forever, fight hard for that promotion. Fight tooth and nail for that promotion, because what we see on social will dictate what we perceive as you coming into our organization as. So that's why you have to continue to rise. Otherwise, Maria, I'm going to take to heart, just thank you, that alignment of around value. That means so much to me. And I do think this is why I've switched from talking about professional brand to professional identity. Mm-hmm. And that we really have to, it is a time where people are thinking about what are your values, what they align. And to Jennifer's point, if your values don't align with an organization, guess what? Problem solved. It wasn't an organization you were meant to be in. And Jennifer, I think our brilliant producer had a question. What if I don't have a social media account and don't want to create one? I'm uncomfortable with the privacy and security issues.
Great question.
Look at this.
You gotta love running, adding great value.
You have to do it. It's just get the LinkedIn. Get your LinkedIn profile. You don't need Facebook. You don't need Twitter. You don't need Instagram.
That's right.
Be professional. And because no matter what you do, every single job has skills and passion behind it. Every single job, from cleaning homes to being the CFO of a company. And sometimes the CFO's profiles are the most boring. They don't put any of their life into it, is why they don't rise and find other opportunities of creativity. So it's important. You've got to do it, though. I think LinkedIn is really powerful.
Well, and so here's what I'll say, Maria, because I don't ever like to say people should. Like, we don't want to should all over ourselves, right, or other people. I would say that there's an opportunity there for Ronan or anybody out there who's like, oh, gosh, I don't know how I feel. I don't feel safe. First, I honor and acknowledge and accept that nobody is ever going to tell you you have to do something. You could, if you choose to, use LinkedIn and don't post a picture, maybe have a meme or something else up. And then if not, then just know that there is going to be a section of opportunities that are going to be available to other people that are not going to be available to you. So you're just going to have to look at the ROI on that. If it's something that is important to your heart, you're job hunting, you're growing a business, and there's going to be a really strong ROI and it's worth more than your fear, then great. And it's a quick side note for anybody out there, the things that we're afraid of are all there to teach us something. So talk to that fear, you know, be with that. This is more the spiritual gen coming out, but, you know, talk to that opportunity and say, oh, okay, what is it I'm really afraid of? At the bottom baseline, what is it? And some people have legitimate concerns. They might have issues with ex-spouses or being physically unsafe. And so when you get down to whatever the core issue is, that's when you can make an informed choice, not a decision, but a choice as to what is in your highest and best good. Why is the fear there? What is it there to teach you? Is there something legitimate at the base of this fear, or is it an opportunity for you to push yourself outside your comfort zone and expand yourself into a new way of doing things? So I hope that was valuable for everybody. Yeah. Thank you so much. Any other closing thoughts, guys? I know we got to wrap up here.
No, just that Ronan's awesome. And I will be a social media account to be like, this guy is strategy, operational excellence, and makes everyone better. So that's my PR for my man, Ronan, for the day. Maria is clearly a guru. I can't recommend you highly enough to anyone who wants to, I think, take it to the next level and bring out a little bit more of who they are. Jennifer, you are probably the best person I know at all forms of social media, just about. A shout out to my sister who's taught me, and my wife who's taught me how Instagram can be a valuable resource. But follow me on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I think it matters. And you mentioned, lastly, Jennifer, to your point about LinkedIn is so, the return on the investment on a LinkedIn, I think, is so 10x. And so I really, the more you put into it, the more you will get out. I promise.
Exactly. Totally agree. And Maria, where can people find you before we sign off today, just so people could work with you if they want?
They can find me at designbearmarketing.com. They can email me at maria@designbearmarketing.com. And I will always respond, and definitely find me on LinkedIn. I have, you know, thousands of connections. I always respond, always. Mm-hmm. I will be happy to look at your profile, and you will get a very honest opinion from me on what you need to do. So, and Jen, I know you know that because I did it for you a couple of years ago. So thank you so much. I appreciate being here. It's just a delight to be here to meet you, Brandon. I knew from your profile I was going to like you. But it's nice to see your energy, you know. But it does come through on your profile. So that's really important. But I've heard you on the radio too, so it's nice. So thank you.
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you to everybody out there. We really appreciate all the interactions, those of you watching live with us on Facebook Live, on LA Talk Radio. So thank you for being here with us. And please do feel free to share this episode if you're on Facebook, if you enjoyed it, or Guided Tidbits. That's how we can help to continue to grow and curate more content that's relevant for you. Please feel free to rate us on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job, or find us on the Get Yourself the Job page on iTunes or on Facebook as well. And, just thank you so much for tuning in. It's always so much fun to get to be here with you. I'm intending that you guys got as much value as I know I did. We're always wealth of information at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. So it's been a pleasure to have everybody here, and wishing you a wonderful rest of your week.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.